This is it. We're finally here. Spring training opening day. This beautiful Friday in the Valley of the Sun, we will preview it all. And also, it's Future Friday, a new top 100 prospect list out. A couple of Brewers you want to hear about. This is Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. This is Locked On Brewers, your one-stop shop for everything Milwaukee Brewers, getting ready for the 2022 season. I'm Dominic Catronio, as always, with Vinny Rotino. Thanks for making us, again, your first listen. He's a former big leaguer turned broadcaster. I'm a broadcaster turned podcaster and statistician. Here we are, Vinny. There's an actual fake real baseball game being played today. The Brewers are taking on the Dodgers out at Camelback Ranch here in Glendale. It's here. We're actually going to watch real baseball, two opposing teams against each other. We made it. We didn't think we would do it, but we made it.
Yeah, and possibly an NLCS matchup here. Mm-hmm. I mean, right off the bat, right? So obviously the players that might be playing in that game in October is probably not the players that are going to be playing in this game. But yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I'm super excited for baseball to start.
So in this episode, we're going to preview, you know, today's game, just a very light preview of what to expect for spring training as a whole, what guys are trying to get out of it. Are there any position battles with the Brewers? What are the things that need to be figured out in these less than 3 weeks before opening day? We are 20 days away from opening day today, Vinny. I mean, it's going to come up on us in the blink of an eye from what we're used to in spring training. And we're going to close out the episode with our Future Friday segment. MLB Pipeline released its new top 100 prospects ahead of this season, and there's a couple Brewers that made the list, so we're going to talk about those guys and the list overall. But let's start with tomorrow. First and foremost, Ethan Small will be getting the ball for that first start of the Brewers spring training. Now, that doesn't mean anything. There is, you know, it's spring training. It doesn't matter if you're starting the first game, if you're ending the game. Ethan Small is going to get two-ish innings or so, according to Craig Counsell. Most everybody's going to be going about two innings to start, and then a plethora of relievers to follow. And he'll be facing a very potent Dodger lineup. However, they have not announced Freddie Freeman yet, so we won't see Freddie Freeman, I don't think, tomorrow. But he'll see probably everybody else for an inning or two.
Yeah, and it's an important kind of spring for Ethan Small. I mean, if you take a look at the roster, you know, there's going to be some of these guys that are depth starters, meaning guys that are backups to be a starter for the Brewers this season. I mean, obviously they have the three Cy Young candidates, the three really good other candidates, mid-rotation types in Hauser, Lauer, and Ashby, assuming Ashby's in the rotation. But there's going to be more guys that are going to maybe have to start. I mean, usually a team doesn't get through the entire season with the same starters that they started the season with. Hopefully that's the case with the Brewers, and I think they did a great job with kind of protecting those guys last year, and so they were able to make a bunch of starts. But it's an important start for Ethan Small. He is probably first up if they need somebody.
And a reminder, Ethan is not on the 40-man roster, so right. If there is a move to be made, he would have to be added to the 40-man roster to make that move. And again, most starters are going to be going two innings here at the jump, and it's the first start of spring. But at the same time, as we just mentioned, it's only 20 days to opening day. As opposed to traditional spring training, like if this was your first start on February 22nd or whatever, you'd be like, all right, whatever, it's a couple innings and move on. I mean, you're probably only going to get one or two more chances against other opposing hitters aside what you do on the backfields. So you should make these moments count, and it's going to be a very condensed, rapid spring training. There's only one off day for everybody this spring.
Yeah, he'll probably get a bunch of starts in B games and stuff that no one really watches. This is an important start. First game out of the gates, and so he's got to show what he can do. And it'll be, like I said, an important start for Ethan Small.
And we didn't really touch on him in yesterday's episode on the relievers, but he could find himself at some point this year, as you teased, as the backup starter, but more as maybe the Aaron Ashby role of coming out, maybe getting that swingman role for a little bit to get some extended innings. It depends on how the Brewers want to keep him extended for AAA to try to keep him as a starter and then bring him up to the big leagues as a reliever. It's just those are things that they're going to have to juggle and figure out from the player development side.
Definitely. Keep in mind, he needs to be added to the 40-man roster to be this coming off season to be protected from the Rule 5 draft. So keep that in mind. That is usually the time. The season before that, just to kind of enlighten everybody on that, I'm sure everybody knows, but the season before that is usually when they get called up because they're going to be protected anyway. So that's, it's not a concern to add him to the 40-man roster in terms of, well, we didn't have to add him yet. So, yeah, he could certainly serve in that bullpen type role, that swingman type role that Ashby served in. And Ashby's probably going to continue that role and start. He's going to probably go back and forth, is my guess.
And for those who don't know, heading into your fourth year of minor league baseball, you're subject to the Rule 5 draft if you are not placed on your team's 40-man roster, which means another organization can pluck you from the minor leagues and bring you into their organization with other rules and payments and things like that. So that's why you say being protected ahead of that season. He was a 2019 draft pick, so 2023 would be when he's susceptible to the Rule 5 draft. Now, as far as we talk about Ethan briefly, but as far as the actual schedule goes for the Brewers this spring, they come out hot out of the gates here. Their first game at American Family Fields of Phoenix will be on Sunday against the Padres. And, wow, we can talk a lot about the Padres right now. But they will be in Surprise on Saturday before coming back to Phoenix on Sunday. And then they have a night game on Monday against the Giants. And then they're back home on Tuesday. They don't have an off day until the 27th. So right out of the gates, they're going to get 9 games in a row to find out what they have. And when you were in spring training, Vinny, did you like this kind of getting into a mode of, all right, wake up, go to the field, we're going to play a game today? Or did you want it a little more stretched out?
No, I liked it when the game started, and I liked playing every single day. I went on every single road trip. I was that guy that never got a day off in spring training. I think I got like almost 150 at-bats one spring training because Prince Fielder got hurt, so I played first base every single day and got 4 at-bats a game. It was awesome, but I was kind of wiped out at the end of that spring. But yeah, I liked it. Get going, get games every day. Now, again, just to kind of enlighten people on what happens with the bigger name guys and the guys that kind of ease into it, they'll get off days. They'll play probably every other day. If there's a night game, they're playing that night game. They might not even come to the ballpark that next day, typically, or maybe they'd show up and just kind of play catch or something and go home. That's kind of how that works.
And that's the beauty of all these day games in spring training is that, hey, come in the morning, get your work done, you have the rest of your day. And some teams are trying to do a few more night games these days out in the Cactus League, but mostly day games for the Brewers this spring. And for those of you who want to try to tune in or watch the game, it is going to be available on MLB Network with the Dodgers TV feed. But also, I got a chance to see Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle today. So they are down here as well for WTMJ. So you can listen to our friends Jeff and Lane on the radio as well. And then Bally Sports Wisconsin is actually going to broadcast 10 spring training games coming up, including starting on Sunday against the Padres. So Jeff's down here for that. He'll do a handful of games. Brian Anderson's going to do a couple of games at the end of spring as well. So there's plenty of content to come out of spring training here for those of you who want to watch it, because here we are. I mean, spring is upon us. Real spring, it feels like. I know there's a chance of snow right on Saturday. I saw that right back home.
I don't know. I don't want to be reminded of that. But yeah, tune in because best broadcast team in baseball. And so, yeah, Jeff's going to step in, obviously, for Brian a little bit more this year. So get used to him. You don't need to get used to him. He's amazing. He's awesome. But yeah, it'll be a lot of fun to watch and listen to these guys again.
So we're going to talk about position battles now. Before we do that, tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Here we are, end of March. Stick with those New Year's resolutions. I believe in you. If you need to restart, make Built Bar a part of your routine as far as eating healthy. It's the perfect protein bar that doesn't taste like a protein bar. It tastes like a candy bar. In fact, it might be actually better than a candy bar. And yet it's healthy for you. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. And yet it's covered in 100% real chocolate. Low calories, high protein. You can replace candy bars with these Built Bars. You'll be blown away. It's an incredibly good tasting treat, and then you remember it's good for you. If they think a flavor might be good, they'll make it. It will be delicious and it will be good for you. Mint brownie, coconut almond, they're all about taste. They make it delicious first and then figure out how to make it healthy. I don't know how they do it, but they make it work. Built Bar, they help us out, and you should go ahead and check them out at builtbuilt.com. Use promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your order. Again, LOCKED15, 15% off at builtbuilt.com. we've talked about this team a lot, Vinny. They're pretty set, and especially with the Andrew McCutchen acquisition earlier in the week, there doesn't seem to be a lot to figure out. But if there's anything that you really want to eye on this spring or things you want to learn more about this team, what would you look in the direction of?
So the backup catcher role is an interesting one for me, right? So, I mean, Pedro Severino is obviously on a big league deal and with no options left, and he can hit. I'm just curious as to what his development is going to look like behind the plate. I mean, you're going from Manny Pena, who obviously was an all-world defensive catcher. Everyone loved throwing to him, really was able to lead pitchers through a game. And then you're bringing in Pedro Severino. I've heard good things. I've heard that he can handle a staff. He's learning. He's in that sweet spot as to when guys start to really develop defensively as catchers, you know, as they get into their, you know, in later in their careers, right? More games caught is essentially the idea. So I'm going to look out for that. That's a, I wouldn't say a question mark, but really Manny Pena was such a stable figure for the pitching staff last year. And for the last, you know, 6 years for the Brewers.
He was the longest tenured Brewer last season.
Yeah, totally. You know, so that's going to matter. We're going to see if Brett – so that battle, like Brett Sullivan's in there. Mario Feliciano is a favorite of mine. They're probably going to want to get him a full season at the AAA level just to kind of develop a little bit more. So that's a big one for me. The other one I'll just touch on briefly is that defensive center fielder type that, you know, all teams usually have in AAA, some guy that can really fly and go get it. I'm glad that they brought Jonathan Davis into camp as a non-roster invite, right? So this guy can really go get him. He's been a Blue Jay his entire career. He can really play defense. I thought the bat was going to kind of come around a little bit more for him, and it really hasn't, but maybe there's something they can tap into there. But he is a dynamic defender, and so he's probably going to be relied on at some point at the big league level to play some defense in center field. And I'm just saying that because of the injury risk at times to Lokane with the soft tissue stuff.
And a name that was reminded today for me that could be a candidate for that backup role that we didn't mention when McCutchen was acquired is Corey Ray. Corey Ray is still on the 40-man roster. Saw him taking BP today. He was in the inter-squad scrimmage Thursday. He puts on a show in batting practice. Now, we're still waiting to see him figure out at the plate as far as against higher-level pitching. But he is still on the 40-man roster. He did technically make his big league debut in the first month of the season last year. So it would be a lot easier for him to slide into that backup center fielder role since you don't have to make an extra roster move to get him into the team. But something that Craig Counsell said the other day in his meet with the media, saying that they feel comfortable on a day or two, if they need Kane to take a seat or if they have something nagging for Kane, they feel fine for a day or two if for some reason they can't have Tyrone play center field, if it's got to be Kutch, if it's got to be Yelich. They feel totally fine for a couple of days, not for anything extended, but they feel comfortable to have their outfield depth where it currently is, which, you know, maybe he's being diplomatic and being, you know, hey, everything's okay. But you and I both know that Christian Yelich probably is not a center fielder anymore. He's only done it for one season in his career. And Andrew McCutchen's got all the knee injuries history. We'll believe it when we see it. But it's just a reminder that you do have these options in AAA to maybe be your backup center fielder.
Yeah, that's a good – and I wanted to kind of backtrack and preface what I was saying. Like, Tyrone Taylor deserves every opportunity to play center field if something were to happen to Lokane. So that I'm not discounting and saying if Lokane goes down, got to get a center fielder. No, I'm saying if Lokane gets dinged, then you have the Jonathan Davis. You do have a great point about Corey Ray. And then, obviously, Kutch can play there for a game or two. I would say not Yelich, but I would say more Kutch. He still can really run. I know Yelich can still really run. I just don't see him as a center fielder anymore, in my opinion.
It's fair. And the thing that I'm looking forward to most is seeing how the utility role shakes out because – look, if the season starts with 26-man roster, I mean, the majority of the year is going to have a 26-man roster. There are still negotiations happening whether or not it's going to open camp with 28 and have 14 and 14. But at some point in the year, it's going to lock into 26, and there's a limit that you can only have 13 pitchers this year. So how does the bench shake out of a four-man bench when you have a DH? You don't have to have this positional versatility as much anymore, but yet you've got Brasso and you've got Jace Peterson who can play all over the place as two utility options, and then you're going to have Tyrone Taylor, and you're going to have your backup catcher. It seems pretty set as far as what this bench is going to look like. Tyler White is still on a minor league deal. Chris Singleton is still on a minor league deal, and or Jonathan Singleton. I did it the other day.
Yeah.
Jonathan Singleton is on a minor league deal. Haven't seen them on the big league side really all that much. I'm just intrigued to see what the plan looks like for the Brassos and the Petersons, because look, Urias looks like he's going to play third. Adames is at short. I mean, the lineup is set pretty much at this point. So, is there anything to decide with your bench, given you know you have Tyrone Taylor as your fourth outfielder, and you know you have either Severino or Sullivan or even Feliciano as your backup catcher, depending on the day? So it really leaves two bench spots to decide if you want to bring somebody up or if you want to leave it as is with Brasso and Jace Peterson.
So it's two bench spots between, just to give people some visibility as to what's going on here and what we're talking about. It's two bench spots, essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dom, but I'm just looking at the roster. Brasso, Keston, Jace Peterson, Pablo Reyes, and basically those guys, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's assuming you have Rowdy at first base, you have Renfro in right, and you have McCutchen as your DH in the starting lineup.
Right. So I would say, man, I would say there would be some sort of musical chairs with what's going on there. Although I'll say that Brasso and Jace, I would say Jace Peterson is in the big leagues all year long. He's out of options. You don't want to lose him. He's kind of figured something out with the bat. He's learned to kind of use the lower half a little bit more, and it's really flattened his path out. And the dude can tell a ball from a strike better than anyone on the team, perhaps, right? With the exception of Kutch, maybe. So it's like, this guy can do a lot of things in the field as well. So I would say Peterson is probably a lock. So it's really one spot. So I think it's going to be maybe some musical chairs between Brasso, Keston here, depending on how he's swinging the bat, although you might want to just continue to develop him and have him figure something out in AAA. So I would say it's probably leaning towards Brasso at this point.
I agree. So that's just something to keep an eye out for, given now you have the DH, obviously, it's less of a need to have these double switches anymore and things like of that nature. And one little thing I want to look out for is how the bullpen shakes out, because we know the last five guys, you know, between Suter, Boxberger, Cousins, Williams, and Hader. But who are going to be the other two guys to flow this out? Because you assume Ashby's going to be in it. So then that really only leaves a Yandel Gustave or a Trevor Gott or an Angel Perdomo. It's really three or four guys competing for one spot available in this bullpen.
And the nice thing about guys like Perdomo, he still has option. I think he has one option left, and or maybe
double
even
checking for you.
Maybe even two, and a Miguel Sanchez. It's really nice that he has options, so he can provide depth at AAA. You know, you hate to hear that as a player. If these guys are listening to the podcast, who knows if they are? You hate to hear that as a player, right? You still have options, so it's like you're almost like, you know, banished to AAA. But it really is the best thing for the team that these guys do have options, because now you can be shuttled up and down to the big leagues if someone's not, you know, really struggling, doesn't have a hot hand, maybe some overuse. So that's super valuable. In my opinion, I guess I would lean, I mean, JC Mejia is probably in that competition as well, right? So I think there's going to be an actual competition here for that last spot in the pen in spring training.
Just to finish your thought, Angel Perdomo has one option remaining. Miguel Sanchez has two, and Hobie Milner, another name that's going to be in this race, has one option remaining. So those are things to keep in mind for that last bullpen spot, if it exists, to be figured out over the next 3 weeks of spring training. Wow, we were talking about baseball again, Vinny. This is great.
It's fun.
This is so much fun. We're going to get to our last segment here talking about Future Friday, as we're going to be here at the end of spring training. We're going to look every Friday looking ahead before the season actually gets going and we lose track of things happening in the minor leagues. Today, Major League Baseball, MLB.com put out its new top 100 on MLB Pipeline. We'll tell you about a couple brewers that made the list. Before we do that, thank a couple of our sponsors, starting with Mission Possible. Are you ready to discover your purpose and leave an impact wherever you go? Mission Possible, written and read by New York Times bestselling author and athlete, of course, Tim Tebow, encourages you to find your inspiration, pursue your purpose, and create a life for yourself that counts. Ignite a new spark in your life with this new inspirational listen. Mission Possible by Tim Tebow is available everywhere where audiobooks are sold. And of course, we're brought to you by Bet Online. It is March. You know what that means. It is brackets. It is that time of year for college basketball. From the latest odds, contests, and player props, BetOnline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the spot for scores, podcasts, and news this season as well. And not just basketball, BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline is where the game starts. You know, I think a little later in spring, once, you know, things have been settled down and more numbers are set, we should do a BetOnline special of just going through everything, not giving gambling advice, just making our own educated opinions on what maybe the over-unders are, or odds, or MVP odds, and things like that. I think that'd be a fun episode.
I'm in. Yeah,
I'd be all for it. Hope you didn't have Kentucky in your bracket, by the way. shout out to the Peacocks. Let's talk about the top 100. Okay, so this is just one publication's opinion. Top 100 prospects heading into the 2022 season. Generally done by Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com. And two Brewers prospects, one obvious one, and one that was just drafted, Garrett Mitchell and Sal Frelick, make the list. Garrett makes it at number 50, right in the middle of the top 100, and Sal makes it at number 88. So things to talk about here with these two guys. First of all, we touched Garrett briefly, talked about him last week during the lockout still. Seeing him around on the minor league fields, he's healthy, he's swinging, everything looks normal for him, and we talked about him with Garrett Green. I think we're all just looking for health out of him and seeing what he can do in a full season, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got all the tools, right? I mean, he can do it all. He can run, he can hit for power. It's just a matter of, yeah, let's go ahead and get him an opportunity to really just you want to see guys struggle a little bit and then get out of it, right? Because you know that once they get to the big leagues, everyone talks about the jump from A-ball to double-A being the biggest jump in baseball. It's not. It's the biggest jump in the minor leagues. Once you get to the from triple-A to the big leagues, that is the biggest jump. So learning how to adjust to that big of a jump is important for players to do, and so that's what we're looking for from him.
So that, and I beg your pardon here too, because as I was looking at it, the 2021 popped up on me automatically somehow. But Frelick is actually number 70 on this list, by the way, not number 88. So he moves up to number 70, and the write up on him is very complimentary. Obviously, he's still a couple of years away, but we've had him on the podcast. We briefly touched on him being undersized, but the way he plays and getting eyes on him this week, it's fun to watch a guy with that much athleticism play baseball, because you and I both know athletes always tend to stick around. You think of guys currently in the bigs that may be undersized but are freak athletes. I think of Mookie Betts right off the bat, of just a guy that isn't the biggest stature, but you blink and he's got 30 homers and 25 stolen bases. I'm not saying Sal Frelick is going to be that, but I'm saying that athletic mold and build, there are guys that he can look up to in the big leagues that fit his picture.
Yeah, and what you the kind of what the new age is looking at, it's not necessarily the loud tools anymore. That's still attractive. I still get awed by loud tools, and it kind of skews your opinion on guys in the wrong way, because sometimes the guys with the loud tools that swing and miss a ton in the minor leagues, they just don't work out. Sal is a guy that has super, don't get me wrong, his tools are there. I'm saying the super quick handsy swings are kind of the ones that you're going to want to keep your eye on. And like you said, athletic, instinctual baseball players, that's all you hear about this kid. He's such a baseball player. Those are the guys that eventually develop into really, really, really good big leaguers like a Mookie Betts. So that's what I'm intrigued about with Sal Frelick.
And Joey Weimer did sneak in at number 100 on this list as well, by the way. Look, we can sit here. We talked about Joey back in December with our first few Future Fridays when some of these lists were coming out. And another guy that I got to see head-to-head against Connor Sadzek last week in minor league camp, man, seeing that swing live. Oh man, I have you seen him swing live, by the way?
Not live. No,
it's a trip, man. This dude has never been shorted on a swing in his life. It is just a pure. It's not even a rubber band. I know Charlie Green said that to us when we had him on the show. It's more explosive than a rubber band. It's like 300 rubber bands also had Mentos and Coke and just ready to explode out of a slingshot. It is a beautiful thing to watch. I understand the swing and miss concern, but he sneaks in at number 100.
Yeah, talk about a guy that I just talked about with the loud tools. For me, he's one of these guys that is going to overcome the swing and miss just because if the tools are loud enough, similar to a Tyler O'Neill with the St. Louis Cardinals, he had one of the worst swing and miss profiles maybe ever, right? For a guy that was projected to play in the big leagues. Like, this guy was really bad with swing and miss. Joey Weimer's not even close to that, and he's got a similar tool set with that incredibly quick bat, incredibly powerful kind of swing through the zone. I mean, he really does have really loud tools, but again, they're almost too loud to ignore and too loud to not overcome some of the concerns you might have for a guy like Joey.
So just to wrap up the top 100 prospects as well, the teams that have the most top 100, according to MLB.com, is the Seattle Mariners, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Miami Marlins all have 6 prospects on the list as well. As far as the rest of them, the Orioles have number 2 prospect Adley Rutschman, number 6 prospect Grayson Rodriguez. They've also got 2 more, so that makes it a total of 4 in their top 100 as well. Other teams that have 5 include the Rangers, the Dodgers, the Guardians, the Orioles, and the Rays. And then teams that have 4 are the Giants, Yankees, Padres, Red Sox, Reds, Twins, and Royals. So it's just one publication's opinion. And in case you're wondering, there's a new number 1 prospect in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr. of the Royals. In my opinion, you should find a way to have him on the opening day roster for the Royals. This kid's going to be special. And then Adley Rutschman's number 2. Julio Rodriguez with the Mariners, number 3. Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green of the Tigers are 4 and 5 to round out the top 5.
Exciting players. I saw Bobby Witt Jr. at a workout. He chose to opt out of the workout, and this was in 2019. This is one of these players and people that just kind of had a presence about him. So I agree with you. He definitely deserves that top spot. I really like Adley Rutschman. I think he's probably like a Joe Mauer type, but he can actually switch hit. Guy that can, you know, kind of anchor a franchise. Never seen Julio Rodriguez.
He's a special. Spencer,
I know he can hit. Is he like the, I'm blanking on the White Sox left fielder, right fielder that was out all last year?
Aloy Jimenez?
Yeah, similar to him.
He's more athletic than Aloy. He's not a big lumbering power guy. He's a little bit of everything type guy. He's similar body type, you know, tall, but more lean. And Julio's a freak. And I saw Spencer Torkelson in college go Devils. I can't wait to see him in the big leagues. Granted, he's playing in a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, so I'm intrigued to see his oppo power at Comerica Park. But this isn't a prospect show.
You
can go to Locked On MLB Prospects if you want some of that.
For sure. Yeah, no, it's and the Brewers after this season, I'm guessing will get a couple more guys into this top 100. I think they have a young prospect pool, and I think some of these guys are really going to develop, especially with how the player development system and the player development team for the Brewers develops players.
Yep. So we are ready for baseball here today. Again, it's a 3:05 first pitch against the Dodgers. You can catch it on MLB Network or on WTMJ locally back in Milwaukee or on the MLB app as well. I will be watching. I can't wait to follow along all season long, but today it begins. Here we go, Vinny.
Let's do it. Here we go.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. We're back to 5 days a week starting next week. So get ready for your Brewers fix. Here we go. It is March. We're less than 3 weeks from opening day. Thanks for listening. He's Vinny. I'm Dom. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.